You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome on Saturday. Is it Saturday? Yes, yeah, Saturday the 2nd of January 2021. The future. We're in the future. We are in the future. I'm Rick Exoteric. And I'm talking to Purple Play, who's in California, in the, right in the thick of it. Hello, madam.
Hello.
Yes, I can.
Okay, great.
Yes, I can. Yep. So, yeah, no, so I've just been to pick up one of my children from a from his mother's place, and we just popped in to get some food at a healthy takeaway place that we've got over here. And as you go in there, you've got to give them your details. So, I mean, obviously I gave them, well, I tried to give them a completely bogus number, but they sit there staring at you and they seem to know if you're giving them the right thing or the wrong thing.
They know you're lying.
Yeah, well, like, so I just gave them this, you know, absolute load of rubbish and put in my obviously fake phone number because, I'm telling you, as far as I'm concerned, they've got no right to listen to anything that or ask anything of any detail of anybody that's not eating in their residence. Here, we only had to give details if you were staying to eat. If you were taking it away, which I was, you can walk in and walk out. But this company, this company's going full force. And what I am definitely saying now. This is all happening, and even though I'm in an area which is way nothing compared to where you are, nothing. I mean, there's no mandatory masks, there's no this, no that, but it's on its way again, on its way, and I can just you feel an unease when they look at you like and say, oh, you must give us your details so we can check you out. You know, it's like,
well,
to
what
me,
exactly do you got to give them? Like your name, your phone number, your address?
So I never go into any business with a mobile phone, ever. And that's what people have got to learn. You need to remove that tracking device and leave it in the car and go into those places and then say, well, if you must, I'll give you a name or whatever. And don't comply, and as far as I'm concerned, these people, they may as well be asking you what it is data collection, data collection. So you'll get emails from that company for the next, you know, for the rest of your days until you change addresses. Yeah, and this is what's happening with if you listen to anyone, and I'll cite now Crow 777. Has been appearing on the Secrets of Saturn podcast, and they've got Wayne McCroy and Great Baldini or something or other he calls himself, and they've been going through and analysing this reset, but they've been analysing it and as far as the someone that's into the real conspiracy stuff goes. And it's an open secret. They're saying that they're doing all this stuff. It's all Crowley. It's all like, you know, they're using all of these things that the conspiracy theorists, put that in brackets, would have been saying, oh, there's a bit of a concern, you know, these numbers and special this and special that. They really are rolling out the New World Order as we speak and have been doing it since, you know, well, now we're how many months? I think we're now 11 months into this thing. It started pretty much, I would agree, on the 3rd the 11th of the 3rd, old number 33. But now they want it to go everywhere. And what they've been doing is targeting certain regions to give them much harder, like Victoria in Australia was way over the top compared to New South Wales. But now it's starting to even out, and they're starting to bring it out here as well. And you can't talk to anybody anymore. You can't talk to, you find your friends and family and business owners. They know that they're gone if they don't obey these COVID laws. And so they're happily taking people's details and using QR codes, which is what we have here. I assume that's the same thing going on. I was just mentioning my black cat just ran inside. Good sign. Good
actually,
sign.
In my area, I've never had to give names or...
Oh, that's good.
...any of that QR stuff. We are massively locked down as far as masks are concerned. Everybody wants a mask everywhere you go, constantly. Yeah. And I, you know, usually if you're going to go into a store, you know, obviously you have to wear them.
Well, you can argue the point, but as far as I'm concerned, and I'm quite with agreement, if they want to tell you to put something on, maybe that they've got some kind of right that you know, for their own.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I'm Rollo. You're listening to thefakeologist.com.
Hey, where's Rollo? We're missing Rollo.
I know, he's got a problem tonight. He's sober.
I was going to say, do I have to, like, go start drinking so I can fill in or what?
No. You can do what you want to yourself, but you're never going to manage to pull off a Rollo.
Exactly. Yeah, nobody can help. As I was saying, technically, well, you know, because I've been listening to Peggy Hall, the businesses are not, yeah, I mean, you know, there's legal stuff about that. But you know, unless you want to go in there and really get hassled, go through the whole nonsense, it's not worth it. But on the street, it's like, I can't believe everybody on the street, you know, are wearing their masks. Nobody outside, I mean, at the beach, on trails.
Oh, man.
I mean, just friggin' everywhere. And even, you know, there's this place where I go to where there's nobody out there. It's like, you know, backwoods kind of thing.
Yeah.
And anybody's out there, you're like, you know, hundreds of yards away from people. It's like nobody's back there.
Yeah, did you see or read that when London did its first, England did its first big lockdown back in probably March, April, There was a guy walking his dog in the north of London, north of England, like in the middle of fucking nowhere, and they had a drone flying around that captured his face and sent it, and he was reported for walking his dog, and nowhere near anyone, no social distancing rules, and it was on the news. Now, whether it's fake or not, I don't know, but I can guarantee you now, anyone that wants to come on here and argue with me that drones aren't being rolled out right now with facial recognition cameras and to be used with the full happiness of the general public to fly about and to report you for social distancing laws.
Yeah.
You know, they've been using them here. I mean, we've had... Frank, are you there? I can see your name just popped up. You don't have to talk.
I am receiving. Over.
Excellent. Hello, wonderful to hear your dulcet tone.
Always love that word.
Dulcet. Yeah, I love it too. And they were using them. So as you were driving the freeway, I drive from my place, Mid North Coast, to Sydney, there were these lines would appear on the road, and it said aero traffic speed cameras in place. So apparently there were planes back in the day before drones were flying around, and they'd take a photo of you. Yeah, they were flying above you, and they could see if you went from that that line there to that line there, and you were going to get prosecuted. It was a bit of a bullshit story because they were probably just using the ground-operated cameras that they're using now. And I'll say this, there is no satellites running 5G, no satellites doing anything. All of it is hooked up via cable. And I'll say this, my only experience is I work for a number of quite wealthy people, and one of them, a builder that I've just finished doing some big work for, he hangs out with extremely rich people, and I always say, what do you do? How did you get this house, this incredible house on the water? And two of them are involved with cabling, fiber optic cable. They're the wholesaler between the country of that's employing it and the business that sells it to them. So they're selling fiber optic cable. So every big tower you see with 5G jellyfish-like death, you know, these horrific-looking things that they look like, to me, the War of the Worlds monsters. These things are all wired by cable. There's no, Wi-Fi involved until they use the small box cells, which are being put all around your house, and your house will have a smart meter if you've been unfortunately told that that's what you've got to have. So yeah, the 5G grid surveillance grid, which is what all it is. It's not there to burn your head off as yet, as far as I can tell, but it's there to survey you and let you know. We know you were standing right there and you signed your name as Rick Hitler tonight, you know, or whatever it was. You know, they'll be able to they'll be able to tell you where you were, where you were standing within a meter probably, I would say, or maybe within inches, and that's what's going down. That's what's going down. Frank, tell me, how are you in Geelong coping with everything? Is it better there now?
No, everything's fine for me. I mean, the bit that I don't cope with is the
mask.
What would you call it? The gullibility of people in their unwillingness to listen to simple logic.
It's science, logic. Frank. It's science.
Yeah, Frank.
My latest example was a friend of mine posted a thing about, you know, that 300,000 people have died in excess in the USA this year.
That's completely untrue.
And so I actually posted on in the Journal today my analysis of that.
I saw that.
And I posted it to him and said, so are you claiming that 3.2 million people are going to die in the USA this year? He said, I'm not claiming anything. And I said, I basically responded to him, why the F are you bloody posting this bullshit then?
Oh, my God. Is this from Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I had to remove myself from Facebook at about October last year.
I started doing that, but I just thought, in the end, if you don't battle evil on its soil...
Yeah, no, you're true. That's true, Frank. I agree. I ran away from it because I just thought it's getting me more upset than it's worth.
Yeah.
You know.
It's sort of the same with me. I've managed to lose every single friend.
Yeah,
I just don't care.
No, I don't care either. And the good thing is, the two guys that I always knew were my best friends from years ago are still my best friends, and they are wide awake. There are people out there that are, you know, with you. You just
chose
gotta find
wisely,
them.
Even as a child, you chose your friends wisely.
What I did is that the ones that I knew were just gone. One in particular who we still chat, not every day, but most days, he just said to me, literally he goes, I can tell that there's a there. He goes, but I'd rather not know about that. That's what he said to me.
My friends, when I was in high school, I was like the bubble buster. They used to tell me, don't bust my bubble.
My bubble. Yeah. Yeah. That's a classic example of,
They didn't want to know.
They want to know. They don't want to know the truth. And this one guy, and he's as solid as a rock. And we, me and him will always be friends because I've just had to say, look, you know, look, don't you... I'm not going to lose friends. I would never lose his friendship over the fact that he doesn't agree with me. He actually told me, he said to me, he goes, oh, you must listen to the ABC, the station. And I said to him, are you seriously telling me that I should listen to that station? And I said, they are the worst of the lot. And he goes, oh, no, they have a lot of other stuff. And they do. And they do have a lot of other stuff on there. But they have been
still
pushing.
But it is still propaganda. Even the other stuff is
another form of
bonkers.
There is no doubt about this. There is no doubt about this, that they have been paid to push this, and they're getting paid either per word...
It's disgusting. The ABC is the most disgusting organisation in Australia.
Yeah, I'm absolutely... It upsets me that they've gone that way so badly.
All,
they did the same thing.
All the same. They all say the same thing. You can...
Yeah, ABC's our PBS. So you've got PBS in... America would be the same as our ABC, and then England has BBC.
Yeah,
and then on top of that, they have this bit
CBS is worse. They're worse.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it's as bad as our ABC then.
Our guys have this propaganda where they regularly post this thing how the funding for the ABC has always, you know, funding cuts, and the ABC is being deprived of funds.
Yes,
but
when you
look at the annual reports. Their funding is way ahead of inflation.
Oh, of course it is.
I happen to know a gentleman who used to work for them as a lawyer. He was a employed as a attorney for it's PBS. You know, they're always asking for money. They're always doing their pledge drive, saying, "Oh, you support us. We need your money.
Yeah, we need your money." Yeah, we get the
he told, he quit because he said they get heaps of funding from the government and, you know, and private rich people.
Exactly, extremely rich people, and you know exactly who he's talking about there.
The Rockefellers and the Carnegie Mellons and the,
and the World Health Organization. Well, you can almost say Carnegie Mellon and Rockefeller are who? WHO,
right,
guaranteed.
Right.
They're the ones that funded. That's who our wonderful little man, Bill Gates, his father worked for the same group. He worked for them, so you can tie the whole lot of them together. And the BBC has always been one of the nastiest organisations out. I mean, George Orwell, Eric Blair, worked for them as a propagandist.
Right.
That's his words. In the Second World War. And he was what he said is that his job was to encourage to write articles that you know expressing that the cheapest cuts of meat now were the best for you. So you know old sausages and
and
anal glands are way better for you than a good rump steak or a steak.
Even the chicken breast, you know, the chicken breast is the driest piece of
the meat.
Of the chicken, and they tell you that's healthy for you, and you know it's like most expensive.
Almost everything that you have heard in the last 60 to 80 years has been a lie.
Yeah,
and
that's the simplest summary.
and when you find out that I'm turning into Rollo, the guy that was the Edward Bernays. Edward Bernays wrote in his book Propaganda in 1923, okay, way before the Depression. I think it came out in 22 or 23, but he wrote two books that said that you are being governed by people you cannot see and that you will never meet and that they are making your decisions for you. And... Crow 777 and is Offside have been. They did a great two or three episodes on Edward Bernays, who was the father of how we think and what we don't think. Targeted your subconscious or our subconscious, and his grandfather or no, sorry, his uncle was the psychiatrist of the stars.
Sigmund Freud.
Freud.
Yeah.
Sigmund Freud. And he actually bragged. He goes, him and Uncle Siggy, and he was actually related to Sigmund on both sides, so there was a bit of incest going on there somehow. But that's the way it goes. That's the way it
goes. Imagine that.
Imagine
that. You never hear about that happening up in those.
Funny that. Well, look at the royal family. Just look at the royal family. I mean, so they were actually expressing and giving you the answers. So everything was written, and you were being told if you had eyes to see. But so basically, the public have been asleep since the 20s and 30s. Not just recently, they've been gone. So your grandfather, your great-grandfather, great-grandmother were all part of that whole situation. And so we've never had it. We here that are discussing this and possibly listening to this are just lucky that we didn't swallow the pill.
Well, the problem is I did.
Yeah, no, I did a bit, but I mean, I always knew that there was something wrong there, and I used to talk to so many people, and I remember I was on a job in 1988, and I was talking to, there was a guy, a Scottish, old Scotsman, who was doing some plastering, and he was in his 70s, still working, and he said to me, we were discussing stuff, and he told me that, he goes, you know, son, he reckons he was 14 or something or other, or 16 or something or other, and he was working on the docks in Scotland, and when a German bombers came over and blew the docks to pieces, but they only targeted businesses that weren't related to Singer, and the Singer factory was right there, and he said the perfect moonlit night. He was living not quite close to it. But he said they blew every single building up except for the Singer factory. And he said the Singer factory was owned by Krupps that was making the same weaponry in Germany. You know, and I used to listen to these things and pick up on it. You know, the wars were fake. They were, both sides were being funded by the same person, same family, rather. So you had your one of the families that made the chemicals and the industrial this and that, like Krupps and Singer and etc. All
BASF.
BASF. All
BASF. But you tell it to the kids today, and they just won't believe you. You know that.
They don't want to know, Frank. As far as I'm aware, like I try. My daughter's kind of interested. And her niece, my niece is kind of interested, but at least one of my sons is just like, Dad, you're crazy, you know, you're crazy, you're swallowing this whole thing. And I don't mind them, because I was anti, like, I would never listen to anything my father told me back in the day. I was more interested, my mother was really into the doctors were owning all the orchards, and they were spraying poisons, and the poisons were causing deformities and things like that. And I listened to her. My father was just completely, you know, he'd sit there every night at 6 o'clock and watch the news. And so you'd see, you know, Vietnam going on, and the communists were invading, and we've got to do this and got to do that. Whereas my mother's a lot more alternative to him. But now, you know, looking back on it now with, you know, open eyes with the research we can do, Vietnam was a farce, complete and utter farce. And no one should have gone to that war or allowed their tax money to go into that, because it was just running.
But no one actually gets it. You know, we don't get to vote on those things. You know,
we don't. No, that's true. That's true.
You know, so the only thing I can remind people listening to this is that taxes entirely a voluntary system in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in America.
And I urge you all to find out how to become a voluntary taxpayer.
By telling them you're not going to pay it, or...
There is a, you know, be aware that there is a way to totally following the law.
Yep.
That allows you to...
following the law as opposed to following the directions.
Correct. And that's, you know, people are fooled into thinking that what is said on the ABC is the law.
Yeah.
It is
and
simply
it's not
an offer.
Exactly. And we accept it by our complicity and
By our silence.
And that's what I keep saying to people. I said, you have to learn to say the word no. I'm not having that thing shoved up my nose.
So can I argue with you on that point?
Yes, okay.
You don't need to say the word. You need to learn to accept conditionally.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, yeah, you're right. I'll accept that up my nose if you can guarantee it's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, simple as that. And that's so true. It's so true. But can you imagine a more invasive thing? You know, my nostrils are sensitive, right? If someone was to shove a Q-tip right up the top of my brain area, it's going to hurt. I'm not having that. And I've read the PCR test creator and all he wrote and all the other scientists have said it's not to be used for testing for viruses or testing for live.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
So can I switch topics here? Purple Play, where are you from?
Hello, I am in California.
Okay. North, south, in the middle?
Northern, outside of San Francisco.
The thick of it.
Is Sacramento up that way?
Yes. Well, that's about two and a half hours away.
That's a very large state, isn't it?
It's huge. It's humongous. We are like massive. I don't think people understand that. We could be our own country. We have lots of resources. We have lots of land. We have.
Well, guess what? Guess what? I think that's in the plan.
Right. That's why America. China wants us.
Yes. Yeah. So they got what? Apparently. And
so when you say China, China is just owned by the oligarchs, the same as Australia and the USA is. There's
CCP.
No...
Yeah, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We think of it as a different place, but it's actually those of us that know the story about China and its formation know that it's been just run by the same people that are running.
The clearest evidence is that Standard Oil New York. Yeah. The clearest evidence is that the Xinhua, which is what they call the official media arm of the Chinese government, is actually a company owned lock, stock and barrel by people in the City of London.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
Totally agree.
Well,
did you
see that Catherine Austin Fitz presentation, perchance?
I've seen several of her things.
She had there was one that I think Ab had it on FakoTube, I'm not sure where I saw it. Yeah, it was on FakoTube. And she explained about, because, you know, I found it quite interesting because she was talking about the financial end of everything and basically how they want to, the reason they got rid of all these areas, you know, and she was talking about the Federal Reserve and, you know, where everything's been looted, of course, and there's just this obviously huge money transfer. But she was explaining about opportunity zones, which I don't know if you've ever heard that term. They use it. It's like a tax break for all these massive corporations like Bezos and Apple and, you know, high tech, whatever. And all these cities, they call them opportunity zones where they're trashing all the small business and all these small businesses are just decimated. And they're going to go in and pick them up for a song, which, you know, like in all the wars, that's what they do. It's they're going about it maybe in a slightly different way because they're using the virus, but, you know, the controlled demolition, strategic relocation
Are you talking about California or are you talking about China?
I'm talking about the entire United States. This woman was talking about all the big cities, like San Francisco. She talked about Philadelphia, Ohio, Michigan.
It's even more sneaky than that, because it's actually happening in China right now. The Chinese companies that have been established by, you know, say people like me, you know, they've built up a business, in the boom, and everything's gone well, and then they've been encouraged to borrow huge amounts of money.
Yes.
To build up their business even more, and of course now the USA and all these countries are not buying the quantities that they were. Mm-hmm. And I deal with people in China for, you know, for printing services and so on. And they're desperate to get work. They will ring me constantly for the smallest of jobs. I mean, I've got a tiny company, and this quite large printing company is ringing me regularly and constantly keeping in touch for the small amount of business that we offer them. Because these guys are basically going to have the same tricks pulled on them that were pulled on what they call the depression people in the USA.
Right.
You know, in the 29s. In
1933.
All those Chinese businesses will just be bought up by the oligarchs. And that's all that's going to happen.
San Francisco has a lot of old Chinese families that had their businesses for, you know, generations. And, she didn't say specifically they were Chinese businesses, but in San Francisco, there is a huge Chinese presence, which, you know, that was my biggest clue that this thing was a bunch of crap as far as a virus, because we have Chinese everywhere going, and they're rich Chinese. They're not, you know, immigrants that come and stay put. Yeah, you know, these were
Communist Party members.
They're wealthy. They go back and forth regularly. And, you know, if this was some horrible pandemic, we would all have been decimated here, because, you know,
You probably mean more than decimated. You probably mean
dead. Yes. was what they said, it was.
Oh, look,
anyway,
look.
Like, yeah, what she was explaining was that 49% already, you know, just in this 9 months, of businesses have been,
taken down.
Totally, yeah, they can't work.
Annihilated.
They're annihilated. They're not decimated. Decimated means 10%
of
your business.
They can't work. They can't work, and they have bills to pay. They have, so what she was explaining is that they are offering anybody who's still left standing, they offer these loans, you know, and of course, here comes lockdowns again, and they can't pay the loans back. So, it's like.
So there's going to be this wonderful, Klaus Schwab is going to come out dressed up as Jesus with a wig on, and he's going to offer them all money to keep going, or some kind of credit system.
No, they're going to offer pennies
on
the dollar for their real estate.
Yeah.
And they're going to just pick it all up and move them aside, and they'll build whatever, the smart cities that Ashika used to talk about.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
The offer is going to be that all you do is just walk away from all your property and all your ownership, and we will forgive you all your debts.
Right.
Yeah.
But
you must take this vaccine every 6 months and update yourself.
I don't think they're going to be all that fussed about that.
What's that?
I don't think the threat of the mask and the vaccine is simply to divert people away from what you were just talking about then, purple play. It is just about the transfer of ownership to the state.
Yeah, but there will be people that will run out and swallow the vaccine to keep their business open, and particularly travel companies, for instance,
right.
and What about cruise companies? I mean, have you, you know, do you understand
what's
how
what's actually
big...
happening with them? Are they allowed to operate at the moment?
No, they're not. But yeah, but the, what the adverts
they're
are saying...
They're still advertising on PBS.
What they're saying is that when you take the vaccine, you'll be fine to come on the cruise. So they're selling cruises still, but you've got to have almost give guarantee that you'll be vaccinated before you get on them.
So I should state at this point too for anyone listening is that you can get the legal status of being vaccinated by conditionally accepting the offer to be vaccinated on the basis that if there's any damage done to you, nothing
exactly.
will go wrong.
Yep.
So please be aware, anyone listening, if you're interested in all those things, contact the site and I can organise to direct you wherever you need to go to get that information.
Yeah, we need that. What's it called? The non.
It's
non,
and they'll still let you get on the plane.
No, I don't think they're going to. But they're going
to.
They
have long
to. The
if you have the all you have to have is the legal status of having been vaccinated. It's a legal status. It's not an actual status.
Yeah. It'll be a legal status, a corporate law. Status it says that you can say I will take the vaccine, I'm happy to have the vaccine if you can guarantee that there'll be no side effects, and no one's going to sign it. And so that's your only hope is,
and even if people listening think I'm completely wrong, you don't have any alternative other than what I'm suggesting to you anyway, so get in
it's
touch.
True. Yeah, get in touch. Victor Frank. And order some salt while you're there. Order some salt.
No, don't order salt if you're from America, because I haven't got any insurance there.
Oh, really? Well, there you go.
You can't get consumer insurance in the USA. That's impossible.
Change the subject, Frank. I've got an air infection. But I've got fluid in the air. Do you think if I up my salt, it would suck the moisture out of my ear?
Well, first of all, don't do anything to your ear. Don't stick your finger in it and don't try and do anything.
Okay.
Because that just exacerbates the thing.
It certainly has.
If I've got no real advice except that you do obviously need to...
up your salt.
Get sunshine. You need to pray.
Okay, well, I can do all those things.
And up your sunshine coefficient, and definitely up your salt.
Okay.
And there are other micronutrients. You know, there's zinc. There's
yes. Charcoal. Magnesium. And charcoal.
And
can I just change the subject? Did you realise that they have now confirmed? For life extension, that charcoal, the intake of charcoal, is 20 to 30% life extension.
Wow.
Way over.
Never heard that.
It was on Crow 777, who I listen to regularly. As a guy, and I believe it too, because what it does, it takes over from your liver and your kidneys and does the work for it, and so your liver and kidneys all of a sudden boost their abilities. And can do other things while your bloodstream is sucking in toxins via the charcoal. And then when you excrete the charcoal, it actually works for 100 or 1,000 years or some incredible amount doing the same job. So
that's right. It'll go on and clean up the earth too, right?
And I believe it completely because I've been a big charcoal freak for many years. I think charcoal is fantastic. So yeah, and salt.
So you eat it.
You eat it, and you just what it does is it gets into your bloodstream and does the job of your kidneys and liver. And pancreas, and allows those organs to function a lot more efficiently while you're doing absolutely bugger all, actually. You just have to eat lots of charcoal. And I've got charcoal here, and I'm a big charcoal.
Where do you get this charcoal from?
Well, interestingly, you can just go into, for a walk into an area that's had a bushfire, and I'm in a zone that I can get as much as I like, and find an old tree with a good root system that's been burnt down by the fire, and grab a chunk of it and crush it up and eat it, basically.
Any old tree? No specific kind of
charcoal? California's
been burnt to a crisp, hasn't it? You should have charcoal to the wazoo.
Oh, we've got charcoal to the wazoo here, let me tell you quietly.
California just is
okay.
Burnt,
yes,
burnt to a
crisp. I am right.
So you find old growth tree. I can't remember which. He actually names one of the trees better for you, but I'm totally a big fan. I was poisoned in 91 maybe, working next to a factory that had a big chemical leak, and every time I swallowed, I could feel this burning down. I could feel my entire esophagus at one stage. And I remember reading an article about charcoal, and I was at someone's house, and their mother said, oh, no, I've got lots of it here. And she gave me some, and it immediately fixed the problem. Completely fixed the problem.
Do you just eat the charcoal just like that, or you got to soak it, or drink it?
Well, put it this way, there's activated and there's non-activated. I think non-activated is the one that you want to have. So you just chew it up and, like, here in Australia, the Aboriginals use charcoal for their teeth and brush their teeth with it or rubbed it on their gums or whatever they did.
In the days that I used to brush my teeth, I used to use charcoal every now and then.
That's fantastic.
But I don't brush my teeth at all anymore.
Oh, okay.
I haven't brushed my teeth for 10 years.
And your teeth are still in your mouth?
Whereas before, they were falling out. I've actually reversed what was going. Everything was going wrong with my teeth, and since I stopped brushing my teeth,
your teeth and your gums are the sign of your health. That's a known thing. I mean, if you've got bad gums and bad teeth, you are obviously not in good health. By taking certain things,
so don't wear a face mask because you're really going to bugger yourself up.
Oh man, can you imagine? Can you imagine the damage that's getting done by these poor, sad imbeciles?
It's official that it's causing, they're calling it mask mouth. Dentists are...
Yep.
Bacterial pneumonia. Actually, there was an article that Fauci actually admitted, or he stated in this article that was written in 2008, that the deaths of the Spanish flu in 1918 was actually, the deaths were caused by bacterial pneumonia, not by the virus itself.
Funny that.
Brought on by the masks that the people were wearing for the freaking virus.
Disgusting. So these guys all know what's going on.
They know.
That's the thing that annoys the crapper out of me.
Yeah, look, Frank, we've just got to get to the stage where you just have to ignore anyone that's pushing this fake virus and fake this, and just use your own instinct and use whatever you have to do, be it salt, be it charcoal. Just, you can't tell these people. And vitamin C, vitamin C.
I have to say that for this particular thing that's going on, the strongest correlation is sunlight.
Vitamin D,
because we know that the people that died in, the elderly people that died in Italy earlier this year, their population was tested for vitamin D, and they have the lowest, you know, around 10 to 15 units of vitamin D, because they're locked in those homes. Whereas the elderly Japanese women have, this thing has not affected elderly people in Japan at all, and they have all more than 45 units.
Yeah, just remember though, Japanese and iodine no problem whatsoever. They're getting they're using seaweed and iodine.
Sure, but again, both the observed connection between low mortality and vitamin D, and the theoretical connection between low mortality and vitamin D is well established now. That's how Florence Nightingale made her.
Funny that.
Her became famous was she put recuperating soldiers in the sunlight, and in fact the first Nobel Prize for medicine was given to a person who established that putting tuberculosis patients in the sun was the most efficacious cure.
When I was little and I was sick, my father always ushered me out to the backyard to sit in the sun. And he gave me an orange.
Yeah. And back in the day, California oranges. And so I grew up in New Zealand.
You're listening to another...
I'm just going
to
get a cup of tea, guys. I'll be back.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream,
I have a plan. Speaking of which, where is Ab tonight? Doesn't he usually come on?
No, he does, but it's usually after I go to sleep, sadly. He gets up and eats his breakfast.
What time is it for him?
About 5 a.m., I'd say. Or something like that. Hmm. But he does pop up. He will pop up at some stage, I would say. But, I mean, I have been going to bed at 8:30 at night, my time, and going to sleep and getting at least 5 or 6 hours before I wake up, roaming around at 3:30 in the morning, which is why 3:30 in the morning. I keep waking up at that time all the time. But anyway, Ab will be here possibly.
What time is it there for you now?
Time is 8:23.
So it is your bedtime.
Kind of. But yeah. But yeah, no, I've been, what's his name? Giris Ben.
Ben Giris.
Benoit. He said, I should be doing something by myself, and I will, and I will eventually do something of that nature. But at this present time, I've just been so tired by like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. I've just been going to bed, which is a good thing, I think. I'm getting old. Not quite as old as Frank, though. I mean, Frank going for a cup of tea. And he's at least 6 years older than me, at least. So, and way better condition by the sound of it. He's playing, what does he play? Squash with one of the world champion squash players. And
it's all that salt.
All that salt. There's obviously something good about salt. And I agree. I totally agree. I've upped my salt big time, and I've got black salt, I've got sea salt, I've got molten sea salt, which is the English one, and I'm dropping that all over my food, and I do feel better, I would say. But so, what time is it for you, Madam Purple Plate?
I'm at 1:23.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I'm like quite awake tonight. I don't know why.
Oh,
it's
good. Hey, I woke up yesterday at like 2:30 a.m. and I was wide awake. There was like nothing could put me to sleep. So I listened to some old shows by IPS, which I think that's my best discovery of 2020 was IPS. And Ab said, you should listen to him because you'll like it. I don't trust everything he says, but I do enjoy his show. Big time. And
kind of lost track of him. I mean, I used to listen to him a few months back, but
I just haven't
gotten around. I have been really lax in my podcast listening, but I'm trying to get back to Crow because, you know, I paid for the 2 hours and I need to like listen to him.
You paid for it.
Yeah, he's been doing some good stuff. I've listened to like the up to date ones, of course, the recent ones, but I want to go back and, you know, listen to the older ones because I know I've listened to some that I only got the 1 hour and it's like, you know, I want to.
I don't care about, I mean, there's certain people that put certain stuff out, but he has had some fantastic stuff. I'm not talking about him, but he's about the same age as me, I think, roughly, or thereabouts. He's in his probably late 50s. Great stuff, and yeah, you just need to vary your listening to people that you can, when you listen to them, you go, oh, that's interesting, and I like that. You got to go with your gut instinct here and enjoy. You'll soon know these days, I think, that someone's bullshitting you.
Burnt out on Corona. I just thought, okay, I'm just done. I'm tired of listening about it, and I don't want to listen anymore.
I agree. And so I stopped...
just about everything for, you know, I think this whole month this month went by so fast. It's like, oh my God, it's already like,
Christmas. Oh man,
oh my God, you know, it's already New Year. I mean, it's just, the days are just flying by. And, anyway, I was kind of looking forward to Christmas and then, you know, it went pear-shaped. And, you know, I told you about my friend, you know, that.
Yeah, far out. I mean, that's sadly the norm, though. I mean, it's like you're dealing with people that really want to believe everything that they hear in the news, and they want to.
Well, no, I'm talking about my friend that passed away.
I told you about my friend that passed away last month.
I used to spend Christmas with her.
With them.
And, you know, I should be skiing in Tahoe right now. And, that's what we used to do. And so it's just been a bummer. I'm sorry, Dave J, I brought death into the room, but
don't worry about him.
It's been exhausting just dealing with that, I think, for me anyway. And then, you know, of course, hearing about all these, the uptick in the COVID stuff, which we talked about already.
Yeah. I mean, life has been really tough this year.
A horrible year.
Yeah. It's horriblest.
And it sounds like it's not going to get much better. I don't know. I feel really
to be honest, you know, I'm pessimistic too, but you have to have some kind of optimism out there to say, you know, like, I'm just going to go swallow whatever they throw at me and not say yes and just say no. And use the word no a lot. You know, I'm sorry, you're not sticking that up my nose. And
I was cracking up at Uncle Odd. He has a nice thing on FakoTube about your answer when people ask you, "Where's your mask?"
He's done a great job of the whole thing. I think he's just, you know, said, I'm not doing that, or I'm, you know, I've got this, I've got that. I don't think you can actually get away. Like, there'll be a stage where it's just not going to happen. They're going to say.
Well, I told this woman the other day because, like I said, I was out in the backwoods and there was like nobody there except for us. You know, I was walking with my friend and she was walking alone. This woman was alone and you know, of course, didn't have our masks on. She was probably 10 feet away from us, so I don't know what her problem was, but she's like, "Where's your mask?" And I just turned around and I said, "Hey, I'm getting vaccinated for free, lady. What do you think?"
That's all you can say.
That just came out.
That's all you can say.
I mean, there's a, no, I, like you said, go listen to Uncle Lodge. He's got like 50 responses to people that you can say.
Yeah, you've got, you've, yeah, exactly. You've got to go with that. And he's right. I mean, but you've got to understand the word no as party vocabulary. And it's like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not doing that because it's, you know, it's, you know, and given the statistics of this bullshit,
well, you can say, you can just ask them, are you a doctor? Are you diagnosing me as sick?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
and you're not a licensed physician. I could, like, sue you for that. You could get into trouble.
You're telling me that I should do this? Well, if I'm, I don't want to do it because I feel it's wrong for my health.
But
and,
I'm sure,
you know,
Frank would say something like, I'm a sovereign individual governed by a...
I never say
yes.
those things. I actually say, oh, really?
Yes. Oh, really? That's a good way.
I generally find for... In fact, yesterday was the first time I got pulled up for not wearing
really?
A mask into a service station.
Yeah.
And this is after I've been served. The guy said, you realize that, you know, masks are compulsory now. I said, oh, really? And I still got served. Nothing really happened.
Good. That's all you can say. It's like, you know, it's like, I mean, we have just got to learn the word no and say, I'm sorry, I am not doing that. Sorry.
I'm much more into the conditional acceptance, really.
True, absolutely true. And that's what we've got to use, conditional acceptance.
So what are you going to say? I'll wear a mask when you can prove that it's safe or...
You say, if you can guarantee that I'm not going to get COVID from doing this or guarantee I'm going to do that, I will take your mask.
My sister actually sent me a box of masks as my Christmas gift.
You've got to love a sister like that.
I opened them up, and in the package, on the documentation of the package, it actually said,
"Made in Wuhan."
Do not prevent you from contracting any specific disease, especially COVID-19.
Exactly, and guess where those masks were probably manufactured? Get this one. They had the New Year's Eve fireworks in China on yesterday. Wuhan had thousands.
Oh,
of
I
people.
Saw that.
Exactly. Work it out.
And they all were like no social distancing.
Not wearing masks, but maybe a couple of them, maybe a few, you know, say 10%. The rest of them were having a party, but while we...
And they had fireworks and everything.
Fireworks.
Was it Ab that published the...
On the I got that on the Telegram. I didn't see it on the Discord.
Yeah, it was there.
And
was it Ab that published the thing that said that the study showed that there has been... They have found zero evidence of asymptomatic transmission in Wuhan.
Yep.
Yep. 300,000 people or something like that in the study?
Yeah.
It was probably 333,000.
Yeah, probably.
No, there would have been a 33.
And done at seven hospitals.
Seven hospitals. Or
42 doctors did the study.
42 doctors and 7-11 of them were asymptomatic. Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, look, I mean, you've either woken up or you are completely deranged and you are a person that believes in COVID.
I have had some success with one particular thing. I often say now, how can you tell when a politician's lying?
They're opening their mouth.
Yeah, their lips are moving, and that seems to have at least captured the amusement of some people.
Yeah,
well,
for sure.
Everybody seems to have forgotten that fact, because that was like so 20, 30 years ago.
Exactly. And but it's interesting, isn't it, that everybody knows that politicians not only don't tell the truth, but will not tell the truth.
No.
There is no circumstance where they will say yes.
Yeah,
no.
We have now, as conspiracy theorists, and I'm quite happy to use the word conspiracy theorist, been vindicated that we've now proven that we were right and they're lying about everything they say.
There was something that came across the Telegram the other day that said that was talking about the Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum stuff.
Yes.
And it said, that the mainstream news said, oh, this is just a conspiracy theory. Don't listen to it.
Yeah,
so they're already pushing that in the mainstream.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, for sure. Look, to be honest, I mean, we're done for, really. When it comes to normies, which, I'll use the word normies, they have been so well indoctrinated that if you dare talk about anti-vax, you are now, and that's why I always said they use the word, so when they spell it, they use the word XXX. They don't just say vaccination, they use VAXXX.
Yeah.
And we know that those letters, that we've been indoctrinated, it's a mistake. X means wrong. When you're getting your exams done.
I thought it meant kisses. Doesn't it mean kisses?
Well, it could have done, but not anymore. So when you get your results back from your exam and you get an X next to a question, it means it's wrong. So obviously we've been given the short shrift.
It means a Glasgow kiss, I think.
Well, one could only hope that Bill Gates will get one of those at some stage. Both of them, on both nostrils, I mean, we really have been done over, but we've just got to accept that we're obviously going to always be in the minority as people that are awake and deal with it. And that's what Alan Watts said. He goes, your problem isn't whether you stay sane, it's with, due to you feeling right. It's whether you can accept sanity despite everyone telling you you're wrong. And keeping sane is the hardest thing that you can possibly do at this time, because your family, your friends, anyone is going to reject you as being a lunatic. And you've got to accept that and move on.
Yes, here it is right here. It says, a new conspiracy theory formed earlier this year called the Great Reset, among other things.
This theory creates
dangerous opportunities for ordinary Americans to be drawn deeper into the world of conspiracies.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we're done for. We're done for. And all you have to do is Google Klaus Schwab, Great Reset, and it's there in front of your face.
You just have to Google every single politician in the world, including Trudeau, including Scott Morrison, including...
Oh, yeah.
Including all of the American presidents that have all said, New World Order, New World Order, New World Order.
New World Order, New World Order, New World Order. Yep.
And they've all
absolutely
said, this is the opportunity
that we've got
presented by this whatever.
Yeah.
And they've all voted.
There was also this, trying to find it here. It was really good. It was, something about a psychological study where, where did it go? It was very short and to the point. I swear I almost sent it to my relatives, but I just kind of thought.
Look, I've lost my brother. My sister's still there, no problem whatsoever, which I thought was going to be the case. Father, I can't even bother. I don't even bother with.
Okay, so here it is. In the 60s, the KGB did some fascinating psychological experiments. They learned that if you bombard human subjects with fear messages nonstop, in 2 months or less, most of the subjects are completely brainwashed to believe the false message. to the point that no amount of clear information they are shown to the contrary can change their minds.
Their minds, exactly, exactly. And they don't even want, and when you say it, they get that cognitive dissonance look
don't
in their eyes.
Don't bust my bubble.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. You are a conspiracy theorist, and you are trying to destroy me and my health. And that's what's happening. And look, we've just got to accept that that's the way it's going, and accept that and try and keep sane while we go through this. That's the most important thing. But of course, your family are going to reject you, and of course, the closest friends are going to go, I'm sorry, you know, you're scaring me. And you've got to deal with that and accept that you are a different person, which we are.
You're listening.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, this is Tom Dalper, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
What a voice. What a voice. I mean, honestly, I felt faint listening to that voice. Tom Dalper, who I just saw wearing almost a ski goggle outfit, working outside number 33 in one of the wards he's working in as a carer, and having to swallow this bullshit to keep his job. Horrific. Horrific. But he's doing it. And Tom, good on you, mate. Good on you. Stop talking. But yeah, Miss Purple Plague, good to hear you chatting at this hour of the night.
I told you, I'm like, I don't know why I'm so awake, but here I am.
I was the same last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. But absolutely wide awake. Could not go to sleep. Tried my best, could not go to sleep, but, you know, sometimes you're there for the reason. And it's good, we have a good chat tonight, great chat, and the legendary Frank the Salt Pirate.
So, Frank, you said you can't send your salt to America, so what's a good salt? Do you know of a good brand, maybe, that I could get here?
Oh, I can tell you. Yeah, no, anything that sees, basically...
It just
harvested.
Says sea salt on it. Like, I'm embarrassed to say I get sea salt from Costco.
It's kind of all right, but hand harvested sea salt from, France or England. I use, the brand I use, I can't remember the exact brand. Well, I'll tell you right now, actually. you want sea salt and you want it to be harvested, and you don't want chemicals involved at all. So the one I have is Maldon sea salt, Maldon sea salt.
Okay. I've bought that before.
Yeah.
I thought that was
No, it's good stuff. I've been throwing that all over my food for many years. But what Frank's doing is harvesting it and using that chemical extraction or whatever they do. And his stuff is very nice. Oh, I've had it. Rollo gave me a great big bag of it one day. He bought some. So, yeah, no, it's good stuff. Great stuff. But anyway, I'm going to go soon, as one is prone to do at this hour of the night.
It's past your bedtime, I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's way past my bedtime. really, the 56th year of life, you just go, you know what I really want to do? I want to go to bed. And it's like, that's what I look forward to doing. And even though I wake up probably at 3 in the morning afterwards. But I'll be back on tomorrow, and I'm going to go through and write down a whole lot of stuff about the last year and have a chat. So if you're still awake tomorrow night at this kind of rough hour, I'll be here.
Well, I guess Frank's gone, so I guess I will go too.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm only going because I'm going to go and eat something or do something, because I've been fantastically busy. One of my only superhero powers I have is mowing my lawn before it rains. And today I managed to mow my lawn again, and it's just started raining about an hour after I did it. And we've had flooding here. I mean, it's absolutely bucketing in the mid-north coast of Australia. Like, I haven't seen, which is good, which is a good thing, because last year we were complaining about it being on fire, and that we've got no chance of that happening at the moment. No chance.
We're always complaining here that we need rain, and it's just like, I get...
That's a whole subject in itself.
Yeah. that's another
anyway, right. Madam, it's been wonderful talking to you, as usual.
Happy New Year.
I'd stay detached from that sort of thinking, Purple Play.
What's that?
I'd stay detached from that kind of thinking. You're just going to make yourself miserable.
We were discussing that I'm very pessimistic, but I guess I should I need to pray, right?
Yeah.
Well, I absolutely
Luke
see no
that,
harm
is it
in praying.
Luke 11.
I just see no harm in reciting Luke 11 at all.
Luke 11. Luke Biskin and Luke 11. Both of those things.
All right.
All right. Anyway, guys, I'm off. Lovely.
I'm missing you already.
I'll be back tomorrow night for a lot longer, I guarantee you, right now. I'll be back.
Good luck with your ear.
Just like promises. Who was it said I'll be back? I'll be back. Was it
MacArthur?
MacArthur. Just like MacArthur.
I thought it was Douglas MacArthur.
He did say that. Both of them said it, but no, I shall return.
That's right. It was Arnie that said, I'll be back.
Yeah. I shall return, as General MacArthur said. Good night, wonderful people.
All right.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Yeah. And you're still online, Purple Play?
I was just trying to figure out. Oh, okay. I forgot how to disconnect.
I got it now.
I guess I am getting a little tired here.
what time of the year is it there now?
Oh, I am at 1:47 a.m.
Oh, wow. So it's not that much of a difference. It's 8:47 here.
What's that, like 5 hours?
So it's 8:45. No, so it's three. You said it's 12:45, is it? Or is it 12:45?
1:47, 12:45.
Okay, so it's...
right smack in the middle of...
5 hours, is it?
Nice.
Amazing. Well, I better let you do that. It was nice to chat.
It was. I've always wanted to ask you the salt question. So,
What's the salt question?
Esoteric was telling me, because I was at. My question was: Is the Costco salt sea salt a doable? is it any good?
Look, as far as I know, it is sea salt product, I'm sure it's perfectly okay. I think any salt is good, even the
Morton's.
Yeah, even the Morton's, at least it's salt, compared to not having it. I would go way up on not having it. And the sea salt that you get from Costco is definitely sea salt, and it is Not the difference is it's just not quite as mineral rich as the stuff we make. That's all, but it's cheap.
Yeah, I mean that's what I really want though is the minerals because is it?
We probably want to go for something like Malden sea salt then.
Is that like a flake salt rather than a fine whatever?
Yeah,
and I have seen that in the grocery store, so I can.
I'm not sure how much it's not. It's not super expensive in the USA, and you don't.
No, it's not. Actually, I mean, it's obviously more than the Morton's, and actually even like the kosher salt, you can get a huge old box of that stuff. I don't even know what it's not.
This is the David's kosher salt.
It's like in a red. It's a red and white box. I don't know if it's called David's.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I forget what it's called, but it's just kosher salt, and you get a big honking box of it. And it is more of a thicker or a bigger chunk salt, but I don't think it's sea salt. It doesn't say anywhere that it's sea salt.
I don't think it is. I mean, I would have to see the brand and so on, but if you can get some magnesium in your salt, that's the best.
Yeah.
Or you can just add magnesium to your diet with tablets or whatever.
Yeah, I actually used to get that in a powder form. I said
yes. So that's magnesium chloride powder. Yep, that's a great way to get it.
It's potassium or whatever. And I haven't taken that in a long time. So I should probably get back on that too. But the minerals obviously that's important. We were talking about, I don't know if we were online when we were talking about getting, we were talking about the charcoal, because you know how he was saying you get it from a tree, because I've also heard about just getting the dirt from a old growth tree and drinking that, and you get minerals from that.
Right. Well, the charcoal is there to absorb heavy metals, so that's what Rick is talking about.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But this, you know, when you get the dirt around the trees, it's more about the minerals and the.
I would say that, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, we did have a big fire here, and that's why I was interested in that as well, because it's like, well, I could go get my dirt and my charcoal from from these trees, but they're different kinds of trees. I know we have redwoods, obviously, and there's another.
Now, I don't know. The thing that would make me a bit hesitant about dirt from trees is that basically there'll be fungal spores in the soil.
Oh, like mushrooms?
Yeah, all sorts of things. Mushrooms. And those fungal spores, in the main, can be quite harmful to people. Your body is geared up to eradicate them. So if you have plenty of salt, your blood will be alkaline, your stomach will be highly acid, and both of those things will work to kill fungal organisms.
So you mean as far as the minerals?
No, so that if you eat dirt, basically,
add
fungus.
You actually don't eat the dirt per se. What you do is you make like a tea out of it and drink and I don't.
That sounds interesting. Yeah, well, that sounds a lot smarter than what, you know, as long as you're not...
just eating the dirt. No, I'm... I guess I didn't explain that. But and they did say, you know, to find an old growth, I believe they said an oak tree, but, and you dig down to get the pristine dirt, not, you know, obviously the stuff on top. And then you put it in water and then just drink, like, you know, not a ton of it, you know, just probably like a small.
I have to say that I'm, you know, this is not medical advice in any way, shape or form, but I would suggest to you that the priorities for people of our modern world is obviously, I think prayer is, you know, the Lord's Prayer, number one. But number two is sunshine.
Yeah.
And just incredibly awful, the low levels of sun exposure that people were getting, and particularly people of coloured skin in the United Kingdom, they are really getting hurt by this. And presumably that's true also in Canada and the northern parts of the USA. You know, they're getting very, very ill from just not enough vitamin D. And the third thing is most people are chronically dehydrated, and they're chronically dehydrated because they don't have enough salt. Because your body holds the concentration of salt in the body at a very particular level of concentration of about 8 grams per litre, the less salt you have, the less water your body will hold, and as a result, you'll become dehydrated. And that is a very serious issue for blood pressure, for longevity in general. Dehydration is... After lack of vitamin D were probably the next most important thing. So those three things, most people, if they attended to those things, they would see a dramatic improvement in health.
Yeah, I would agree with that, I think. I try to get out every day and get into the sunshine,
Yeah, And I can just give you my own personal experience. I am at 60, nearly 62 years old, way ahead of the people that I was at school with in terms of physical capabilities now. Some of them are getting hips replaced and everything. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that's true. I hear a lot of people that, you know, in their 60s getting knee replacements. Lots of people get knee replacements.
Yeah.
Or knee surgeries of some sort.
And the other reason that is so because they're dehydrated, their tendons are weak and the fluids, you know, all the, the stuff between the bones, the grizzle between the bones, that's just not robust enough anymore. And also salt is stored in the bones. So a lack of salt leads to osteoporosis.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
Again, the evidence for that is very clear that the number of bone fractures experienced by Japanese people at any age group is 20% of that experienced by people in the Anglosphere, what I call the Anglosphere, the English speaking peoples.
Right. Well, I just broke my ankle 2 years ago.
Yeah.
skiing, of course, but
yeah, in my opinion, that shouldn't be possible. Even skiing, unless it's a very, high speed fall. If you were very well salted, your bones are so strong they can't be broken. It's quite interesting. As I said, the statistics on fractures, and this is something you can look up on the internet for yourself. The statistical difference of the rate of bone fractures between Japanese people and, basically people of Western Europe.
Salt in their fish.
Well, they have a lot. They'll have massive amounts of salt compared to us. And yet the correlation is not given that it's lack of salt that causes it. But the reason I suggest to you that it is the salt that causes it, because excess salt is stored in the bones. And when your body needs salt, demands salt, it will drag it from the bones.
Okay.
That is a fact. That people don't connect then. Lack of salt to osteoporosis is a puzzle to me, but that is the situation.
Well, I have been eating a lot more salt. Since I've heard you talk about it, it's probably been a couple years now. So, what's the measurement? Is there like a?
Yeah. So the measurement is that you get stomach acid. The strongest stomach acid is about a pH of 1. You get a pH of 1 in your stomach acid, you would have about 15 to 17 grams of salt a day.
Okay. So
and there is a well-established... So that's about half an ounce. About half an ounce of salt a day.
That's a lot.
You may think so, but you'll find it's not really all that much when you start putting it on your food and end everything. Because remember that before refrigeration, everyone had that much amount of salt.
Okay, so I guess...
That number that I've just given you is correlated with the highest lifespan.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Okay,
that number comes from a study that comes out of, I think it's the University of Toronto.
Okay, so 1/2 ounce per day. So I will have to just measure that out and then just sprinkle it on. I mean, I do put salt on pretty much everything anyway, not that far off.
I wouldn't go to that extreme myself. I would simply suggest that you lose your fear of salt.
I do not have any fear of salt. I've never been diagnosed as high blood pressure or anything like that. So,
And that's probably all you need to do. I just think you'll find that as you step up the salt intake and you'll, make sure you get plenty of salt.
I'm just curious, though, now, because, I'm just curious to just see how much it actually is. And then, you know, just like you said, just freely sprinkle all day like you normally would, just to see how much I actually do go through.
Yeah. So that number that I gave you is confirmed by lots of things. U.S. Army studies, this latest thing that came out of I think it's the University of Toronto, but I'll have to find it. And it shows that if you have less salt than that, if you have less than 8 grams of salt a day, your lifespan gets reduced quite a lot.
Hmm.
Whereas if you overdo it, if you have more than that optimum amount of about 15 grams a day, the drop off in mortality is quite slow. So this evidence is well known, by the way. And there was a report called the InterSALT report that showed a correlation between populations that have more salt intake have longer lifespans. And the footnote to that graph that was produced in this very famous InterSALT study was that although this graph shows an increase in lifespan as salt consumption increases, the general consensus is that salt is bad for you.
Well, yeah, that's all you hear everywhere. But again, like I said, from friends that, I mean, I have had friends that have been diagnosed as high blood pressure and they, you know, give them a pill to take or whatever. And, you know, I think it's ridiculous, but, and I do know that they have lowered the, just like with the cholesterol, they've changed the numbers. You know,
for high blood pressure. Yep.
Yeah, for that you're in trouble and, you know, in a whole new range, you know, so it's just, you know, like, just like all this vaccination stuff, it's like they want to just pump you full of everything, whatever they can.
Yeah, I mean, we've just been farmed.
Yeah.
And, the wealth of the elderly is being extracted from them as they die.
Sure, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they can't pass it on to their children.
Yeah. I totally agree, and I've seen it happen so many times. It's very sad when and you can't tell anybody, you know, cuz like my mom is, she has been pretty good about, you know, not taking vaccinations, and she doesn't have, right now, she doesn't take a bazillion medications like most old people do. Mm. But they did tell her, you know, they've been telling her, I mean, she's 92, and they've been telling her for the past few years that she should take high blood pressure medication, but, you know, she doesn't.
Kind of intriguing, though, isn't it? She's 92.
Yes.
Why would they bother?
Exactly. And then I have this neighbor of mine who is across the street from me, and she's about the same age, and she's sadly has moved, but recently, she was, I mean, totally like healthy. She would walk every day. She was, you know, totally, she ate good. She was, you know, very positive. She had a really good attitude, and, you know, she was a healthy woman. And, you could just see, you know, one small thing happens, and then they get you to the doctor. Oh, you got to take this pill. Yeah. And then that leads to another pill. And next thing you know, she's got a basket full of pills. I mean, and then, you know, she started falling. And so, you know, I had to, the ambulance would come, you know, like every so many months, because either she would fall or, you know, she would pass out. Or, I mean, there's just, you could just see the deterioration, you know.
So it's interesting, just on that topic, there was a paper published at the very last Salt Institute conference, world conference, were demonstrating that falls in elderly people were directly correlated to low salt intake, because it basically their blood pressure reduces and their ability to maintain balance is compromised?
Well, I think it was just all the medication she was taking for who knows what.
Yeah, maybe, but I'm going to suggest to you that she would have been told to cut her salt down, and as she did that, her her balance.
I don't know. I don't know if she had high blood pressure or whatever, but I, like you said, I just know that as soon as they got a hold of her, you know, and she was going to the doctor regularly, it just, you know, one thing after another, and oh, we're going to check. They gave her all the tests, you know, we're going to test you for osteoporosis, we're going to test you for, you know, heart disease, we're going to test you for brain disease. I mean, just test after test after test until they found something, you know.
What age was this woman?
She's about the same age as my mom, too, because I think she was actually either 91 or, I mean, now she is, but... But she's, you know, this was going on since, you know, probably for over the last 5 years or so. Cause she's right across the street from me and I used to check on her all the time. And I was the person that they would call because her children live, you know,
far away,
a few hours away. And, you know, so when things would happen, she does have a grandson that was here too. So, and if he was not available, then they would call me, but. You know, during the day while he was working, and I would be here, and so she put me down as, you know, someone that they could call, so that because she had one of those little buttons, you know, that you push, and they would call the ambulance or the fire department or somebody to come and check on her, and so they would always call me if, you know, they. Because, like, when she would push the button and then they would call her, and if she didn't answer the phone, then they would call me and I would have to go and check, you know, see what was going on. And a couple times it was pretty bad. So, but anyway, like you said, it just,
it's distressing to watch, isn't it? I mean,
you could just see the deterioration. Like you said, you just see. One pill, then it leads to another pill, and then another two more pills. And because, like, that day when this was like probably maybe I don't know how many years ago, maybe a couple years ago, and she had fallen and she fell into a plate of glass and totally, like, her face, her face was all cut up from this, she broke an entire sliding glass window from falling into it. And anyway, so she, you know, the ambulance came and they were asking, you know, what pills, you know, what medications was she on? And I, you know, had to go find her medication. And, you know, it was just, there was just this entire basket filled with prescriptions and, you know, stuff that you cannot pronounce, obviously. And it was just, crazy.
Bonkers. And, you know, once they start, half of the pills are to counteract what they call the side effects of the other pills, which are really not side effects at all. They're the effects.
Exactly. It's it just cracks me up the way that they talk about side effects. It's like, okay, this is it, because it always includes death. So, you know, there's never, I don't know how they could call it. The way they downplay side effects, it's like, okay, this is harmful. This is, you know, bad things are going to happen if you take this stuff, you know, and they just always seem to write it off as side effects. And that's like, I don't know, that's the brainwashing right there, because, you know, you hear side effects and you think, oh, no big deal, right?
Yeah, awful.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's, I think the key is to stay out of nursing homes.
Oh, totally. Nursing homes and the doctor's office, the hospital, you've heard Ab say about that the whole entire medical industry was created to counteract the chemical company or to hide the
chemical poisoning.
Yeah, the poisonings.
I think that's certainly true of things like... remember the mad cow disease thing?
Oh, really?
Do you remember mad cow?
Oh, I do. I totally
do. So that, that was, I'd suggest, likely to have been DDT poisoning of cattle.
Huh. That's interesting. I never heard that. I mean, I...
And the other one I think is pretty reasonable is the idea that smoking causes lung cancer came from trying to hide the effect of diesel particulates. When, you know, lung cancer really became a big thing with the introduction of diesel particulates, so, you know, diesel trucks driving around.
Well, I mean, just the, what do you call it, asthma, you know, the rise of the children that have asthma.
Mm-hmm.
At various levels, you know, and they said, oh, it's because of pollution. Well, we were in California, supposedly we have special gas and we have to pay more for gas because we're mitigating the pollution. Well, the kids are still getting asthma. They're still.
Yeah, it's almost certainly. Oh, okay. So let's not say it's certainly. The best correlation between asthma and anything in the environment is the introduction of margarine and polyunsaturated.
You don't think it's the vaccinations?
No, I would suggest to you that the cure for anyone with asthma, apart from obviously my usual thing of having more salt, is to get the children off any cottonseed oil, any unsaturated oils, even olive oil, and off margarine, and get them onto saturated fats and butter.
Well, I don't have a child that's asthmatic, but I just know relatives and friends.
Yeah. It's same here. We've always just fed our children, you know, normal meat and three veg, we call it here.
Well, I was reading somewhere, where was I reading about? Well, probably recently about how the, you know, because like when we were younger, I mean, I think I got, I don't know how many vaccinations, you know, in the early 60s when, you know, mid 60s, I guess. And,
I was born in 59, so I got all of those things.
But it was, you know, what did you get, like polio and measles, maybe?
Measles, yeah.
I mean, but we didn't get them as newborns. I thought probably waited for like, what, till 5 years old or something like that?
Or older, yeah.
Later.
I got my smallpox injection when I was quite young.
Right, but not newborns. I mean, the newborns these days, they're like pumping them into the newborns like immediately. I mean, like they were saying something like, you know, every month they get like a new vaccine from the moment they're born. So that's like 24 in the first 2 years, right?
Yeah.
But, and I've read as high as, you know, 40 something, you know, so maybe they're doubling them up or something. I don't know. But that's a lot. That's a lot of poison to pump into a small child.
It's absolutely dreadful. The other, but prenatal, when they give them ultrasound.
Right.
That must be very damaging.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think I got like, when I was pregnant, I think I got like three vaccinations too, because they wanted you to have, Rubella. And the whooping cough, and what was the other one? There was another one, I'm sure. And it, you know, I didn't know about these things back then. So of course, you know, they shot them into me. So, and, I don't know, you know, I remember when she was born, that they, you know, had a whole nother list of vaccinations that they wanted to give my daughter. And I remember, you know, thinking, you know, why do I need to get all these vaccinations for things I never even heard of? You know, like, what was it like? What was that one that was some kind of hepatitis, you know, which is supposedly, I think it was hepatitis B. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that one, yeah.
that one's only transmitted sexually, you know, it's like, okay, well, my daughter's just born. Why would she need to have a sexually transmitted disease vaccination right now? I mean, and I remember refusing a couple of them because I also didn't want to give her the chicken pox one because I, you know, I thought, you know, why, what's wrong with chicken pox getting them and getting over them and blah, blah, blah. Yep. But I don't know. I just, it seems like they every year it's just more. So
that's, they're the sort, that's the sort of behavior that's led me essentially down the biblical path, because it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
For any other reason to me.
Well, that's what, you know, when we were talking about, about the mask thing, you know, and one of the responses that I really liked was, you know, I am governed by a higher authority.
Yeah. So in Australia,
I'm a divine citizen or whatever.
I'm a son of God. It's interesting that religious objections are being removed as an excuse from
as
the in Australia as a grounds of objection. Yeah, in Australia. Yeah. But the claim that you make is not really religious. That you're talking about is based on the idea that you are not a creature of statute. You are a living person.
You're a man or a woman. Well,
you're a living man and woman, and therefore not subject to statute.
Right. You're not the. You know that there was this woman. I was listening to this woman just now, like a few minutes before I got on. And she did mention something to the effect that, you know, they changed the name, like they don't call you a man or a woman. But...
Yes.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor. We'll get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Yes, you're called a person or a taxpayer or a
male or a female, like an animal, she said.
That sort of thing. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And, but so like, if you claim you're a man or a woman, that's, you know, that's a divine, from mom and dad. Creation or something like that. I can't remember what she said, but
it's a living. In Australia, the way the law is constructed, your approach is to first of all is by asking a question: am I a living man? And you know they will eventually answer yes, or they will fail to answer three times. If they fail to answer three times, then you can say, okay, so we've agreed that I'm a living man. Are living men or women subject to these statutes? Can you prove that they are?
So and that, yeah, again, okay. Well, that's good. That this, like you said, this woman had a series of...
Set-up questions.
Well, not set-up questions. It was just a little presentation, small, short. So, you know, it wasn't just a big, long-ass thing that, you know, you had to sit and listen to, but, you know, just short, four-minute things that... And she came across, you know, all this stuff like, you know, laws or... don't exist, they're, you know, meaningless, and, you know, like you just said, if you're, they don't apply to you as a man or a woman, only if you're a construct or a, you know.
One of the artificial things, that's exactly artificial. It,
So that you to me is very interesting, and I totally want to get versed on that.
and so I've started down that path through some sites. If you're interested, I'll link them. But I'm paying for that information.
That's your Empowered Solutions, right?
That's it. And there's that one. But there's also in the
they have some for America here. I've been investigating on some of those. So, and they are pay sites too. Some of them are pay sites.
Yeah.
But you know, as we were talking about Crow. Triple Seven. I don't know if you're familiar with his podcast.
I am. Yeah, no, I'm very familiar with him.
Yeah, he has a lot of good people on there that, you know, have all that on that path, you know, so I've just got to get down there and start.
And I think a large part
my
of what's,
spiel.
I think a large part of what's happening now is that, constitutions of the countries that we live in, guarantee a certain amount of protections for us. And as people become aware of them, there seems to be a determination to divide the essentially what I would call the Protestant nations.
Yeah, so you think they're going to try to take that away? And
basically, yeah, they'll generate civil unrest, and in that way they can basically wipe out those constitutions and start again. Because in Australia, a whole bunch of law contravenes the constitution and just won't stand up to a challenge.
Right, but again,
and the same will be true in the USA.
But like you said, though, if in fact, and I don't know, maybe this is not true, but I've always heard that they're not granted rights. They just are as you're born. So nobody can take, it doesn't matter if there's not a constitution, it still stands, you know. I mean, they could write all the freaking laws they want, but you're still.
But in the end, though, they're the guys with the guns. So, you know, you would need, without the precedents, there is, in my opinion, protections offered under the existing system, which, you know, the U.S. losing its constitution, I don't think would be a great thing. You know, starting getting into that civil unrest where they can just simply undo lots of precedent that supports people having proper free lives. For example, in Australia, that our constitution guarantees that you can't be locked down without a proper medical examination. There's a right of appeal. There's all sorts of things that can
right.
go on.
Yeah.
None of these things are taking place now. And you can get them. You still can get them. Even though, you know, you may be unpopular with your friends and colleagues, nonetheless, you can get them. But if there's civil unrest and they can essentially wipe out the constitution of Australia, that will then allow the guys that are framing the system to, you know, write whatever laws they like.
Well, I think just the fact alone that your neighbors are ready to sell you up the river.
Oh, yeah.
Is they don't even have to make a law because, you know, everybody is so afraid. They think you're threatening them and you're going to kill them by merely walking past them without a mask.
Yeah, and that's on my Facebook account. I have as my motto, my breath can kill, apparently. Apparently my breath can kill you. It's absurd. It's people who have just become... Oh, well, I think zombies is the best word for it, isn't it? I've lost you. Are you receiving? Over.
Okay. I think I lost you for a minute there.
Yeah, I lost you, yeah.
I think I didn't hear what you said, but yeah, zombies.
That's it. That's all I said. I just, it is a thing, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I that's why I am pessimistic, because I just see... Yeah. Everyone's so still in the spell.
In the thrall. In the spell. Yep.
Yeah.
That's all I see. I don't see any. Yeah. And so, really, because I have no other choice, I put my trust in the Creator.
Yeah. I think that's all we can do. I mean, I know everyone outside of the U.S. is looking towards the U.S. as some kind of, like, we're going to save, but I don't know. It, from where I am in California, in my particular area, everyone is so locked down in the mind. I don't see it. But you know, maybe in the you know, what they call the flyover states that they're always making fun of, you know, maybe these people are
gonna the flyover states.
Just the people, the states in between New York and California.
Is that what they call the flyover states?
That's what they call them, the flyover states, because, you know why would you bother with stopping there? You just fly over them to get to, you know, the good place.
Isn't that amazing? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I think it's pretty insulting. But, you know, this is where, you know, the real Americans live, I'm assuming, or I'm told. But, you know, we, like I said, California's a big state. We have a lot of them, too, here. There's areas of lots of agricultural areas. We have, you know, lots of wide open spaces and people who live in the mountains. And, you know, they're not as brainwashed, you know, because I've met them.
Presumably it's pretty easy to get to further north, isn't it, to Washington and so on?
Well, you just got to get in your car and drive, yeah.
Yeah, and I've heard that's all quite beautiful and stunning.
Yeah.
Washington, Oregon, and all those places.
Right, the whole coast, the whole West Coast is beautiful all the way down. As is Australia. I've been to the northern eastern coast of Australia from Cairns up to Port Douglas. And
sure, but it's nowhere near as habitable, as fertile. And
it's very similar in terms of the coastline. I mean, obviously the interior is crocodile-y and rainforest-y.
It's just that, well, that's only a very small area, but really you can farm practically the whole of the USA.
Yeah. Well, the desert area, that we have some desert areas that are not, like, you know, we have a big Death Valley, and there's a lot of desert in the southern parts. And then there's mountains in the northern parts. So it's, you know, depends on what you mean by farming. But the whole center of the United States is very farmable as well. So,
whereas here it's basically deserted. 90%+ of Australia's population lives in, you know, a handful of cities.
The southern part, yeah.
So Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, and Perth would be more than 90% of the population.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, like you said, in terms of saving everybody, I don't know.
No, it's
kind of hard to say. But so, you know where Sacramento is? Is that where you were asking about Sacramento?
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, I've only seen it on television, but it just looks beautiful.
It used to be it still is the capital of California.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
It's it used to be further in the mountains, the capital, and then they moved it more west. And but yeah, it's a pretty big area just before you get to the mountains. It's a pretty big city. I don't go there very often. But that is where all the politicians hang out.
Just a long way from San Francisco and San Diego, isn't it, really?
Yeah, well, San Diego's like all the way down to Mexico. I mean, it takes me about 10 hours, maybe more, 10, 11 hours driving to get to San Diego from where I am.
Incredible how big that state is.
Yeah.
You know, I think of Australia as being a large place, but, you know, it's...
Yeah. And then to get to the top of California going north, if I get in the car, it will take me maybe 6 or 7 hours to get to Oregon.
So that's absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very, very, like you said, in very different areas. You know, like I said, you got desert, you got mountains, you got the coast, you've got, you know, flatlands, valleys. So it's, you know, there's everything. That's, you know, the cool thing about California is, you know, we could ski in the mountains and go to the beach, you know, at sunset. Living in Southern California, we could do that because there's like a ski resort that we would go to that was probably about an hour away from where I lived, near the coast. So,
Well, I ski when we're allowed to ski. They've stopped us, but I ski in our winters here, and that's our closest ski field is, say, 4 hours drive for me.
Yeah, well, where I am now, Tahoe is that far away, but in Southern California, like I said, there's Big Bear Mountain, which is, you know, close, maybe couple-hour drive to the mountains, and but there was another area that was even closer, and you can get back down to the ocean, you know, before sunset if you
gorgeous.
If you cut your skiing short. But we used to night ski too. I mean, that was. And then
no,
you
I
know,
still love skiing. It's a, it's an amazing sport.
Yep, I always said I hope to ski in for as long as I could, and I thought when I broke my ankle I wasn't going to ski again, but I think I'm ready to ski again.
It's amazing.
Well, and actually the snow up here in Tahoe is, I don't really like Tahoe snow. I much rather go to, there's another area in Central California that's called Mammoth Mountain, and the snow is much better there, but it's harder to get to from here. Southern California, you could get there in 4 or 5 hours, and we did it all the time, but from here to get to that particular ski area, it takes you like 8, maybe 9 hours to get there, so
it's just not a good the numbers weekend. You're talking about are just incredible to me, because, you know, I think of the USA being, you know, not much different to Australia in size, but it must be much bigger.
You know? I'm not sure how big Australia is, to be honest with you, but I remember, well, when I was there, we flew from Cairns, is that how you pronounce it?
Cairns,
whatever. To the center, to Alice Springs and Ayers Rock, that area.
Yeah.
And that seemed like a long flight. And that was just the center, right?
Yeah, that takes you to the center, yeah.
So I think it could be approximately the same size. You just don't have Canada on top or Mexico on the bottom, which makes it seem much larger. I mean, we go all the way to Alaska. You could drive all the way to Alaska if you wanted to, but I wouldn't want to do that. That's kind of a long drive.
Is Alaska really? Is it real?
Is it real?
Did Sarah, what's her name, really exist?
Does it really?
She seems to have vanished like a puff of wind, doesn't she?
Alaska?
Sarah Palin?
Oh, yeah, I don't know about her.
Was she real?
She was that gal on Saturday Night Live. She was.
Yeah,
by the way,
I actually think that.
You think they were the same person? I would venture to say that. Yeah, because, you know, she comes out, they bring her out like every now and then still. And it's
Tina Fey is one of the Greenberg girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yep, she's one, you know, the Saturday Night Live crew is full of Greenbergs. And the patriarch of the Greenberg family owns AIG, the insurance company, or is the head of the insurance company.
Hmm. Well, I heard, I remember reading.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Cody from Memphis. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Okay, what was I talking about now?
We're talking about Sarah Palin and the Greenbergs.
So I was thinking about, what's that other girl's name? The one that was on Seinfeld. What's her name?
She's just been in just a dreadful movie with,
I can't think of her name, but she's supposedly some royal bloodline person.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say absolutely.
Yeah,
like a Danish princess or something.
Yeah. I remember reading something about her, and it was just like, holy crap. Well, no wonder, because I always thought she was a terrible actress. And I didn't think she was that funny.
Julia something?
Julia, yeah. Julia Dreyfus.
Julia Dreyfus, yeah. They're all royals, by the way, all of them. All of the top movie stars are the royal family. just like every president of the USA is related to the royals.
Really? Oh yeah, yeah. The presidents, right? What did I hear about? I thought I read something that Trump was related to. Was he related to like Hillary's family? I think.
Yes, they're all totally related. Yeah, they're all cousins.
Did you read that? Was that Burke's Peerage or something?
It was a young American girl who made all the discoveries, apparently.
They used to talk about that there was a lineage, a book. It was called Burke's.
Yeah, I know the Peerage thing you're talking about.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And it had all their trees and stuff in there. But I never actually saw it, but I heard people talking about it and how everybody was. The interesting one was Napoleon. And that he has a brother,
Bernadotte,
that he
installed into
supposed
Sweden
to be the king, but he gave it up or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago. I can't even remember all that. But yeah, there's so much stuff that you just hear about and then you forget about it, and you should really put it all together. And
well, you've got to go and make a living, haven't you? You just can't keep up with it all.
Too much, yeah. Too much time.
And really, you know, you're far better off focusing on what you can do things about.
And, well, I think we should focus on just living our lives and forget, you know, ignoring all this other stuff on the outside.
Yeah.
But I guess that's not going to be possible if we got to choose sides now. They always used to say, going to come a day when you're going to have to choose sides.
Well, the side you're choosing is whether to be with the, well, sorry, in my opinion, be with the creator or be with the devil.
Right, right. But we're so confused as to what that is. You know, we think we're choosing good and we're choosing.
Well, we definitely are absolutely hopeless at distinguishing between good and evil. So I don't make any attempt to do that. All I do is I pray to the Creator that my action is guided by Him, really, or protected by Him, because otherwise we just have no compass at all.
Right. Well, it's somebody said to me the other day, actually on the Discord, that you have to get right with yourself and not worry about anybody else.
Yeah, I guess I would have the view that I need to get right with the Creator.
Well, and yeah, I mean, to not be blasphemous, I think we are one and the same, don't you think?
To not be blasphemous, yes. It's not that easy to avoid these days, though, is it?
What, being blasphemous, or?
I don't know about you, but my whole life was, you know, virtually entirely blasphemous. I guess the only thing that I really was kind of solid on all my life would probably be the issue of abortion. My mother got pregnant at what she considered to be a late age and was considering abortion. I remember being shocked by it when I was about 14.
I'm curious why you say that you were entirely black. I mean,
because I would always mock people that thought that there was a God.
Well, but that I would not say that was blasphemous. To me, I would say, like you just said, blasphemous is not doing what's right, basically, you know?
Yeah, I just don't think we know it's right. I often have this discussion. You know, a lot of modern philosophy seems to boil down to, you know, that Peterson guy saying, you know, if we save a guy who then goes and murders 500 people, have we done the right thing or the wrong thing? Have we done something that's right or wrong?
Right. I guess I just think,
there's a lot, you know, in the end, we can only ask. We are hopeless. We are absolutely hopeless.
Well, exactly. Well, just even right now in this situation that we're in, I was thinking, okay, because I keep getting upset about, well, all these people that are, you know, that can't work, that are losing their businesses, they're like getting screwed, blah, blah, blah. And so if we reverse that, then you're going to have, I mean, at this point now, because there's just, we've gone so far in it, all the people who are sitting there saying, we have this terrible virus and believing in, you know, the doctors, the nurses, the medical people who would, you know, if so, if it got reversed, flipped the other way, then they would be the ones who were, you know, in dire straits because they, you know, they don't have a career anymore, basically, right? If we totally blow away the vaccination, the virus, just the fact that you can't catch a virus, you know, that whole industry,
oh, yeah,
right? So then they would be, so it's kind of like, okay, well, who gets to decide, right, who's going down, right? But.
And so this is the, I mean,
why does somebody have to go down? I guess that's, but yeah.
Well, because we live in, because we live in the world, in Satan's world.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
We live in a world where all of the, you know, I've often said this on this forum that, as far as I'm concerned, 99.9% of the tasks that we undertake that we call jobs are completely pointless.
Or they're supporting the corruption.
Supporting the corruption. Yeah,
we're putting our energy into
teachers.
That's exactly what Catherine Austin Fitz was saying, that the only way we could turn this whole train around that we're on right now, cruising down off the cliff, mm-hmm. is if we stop supporting all these major corporations, the you know, the Bezos and the Apple and the whatever. So and the government for that matter. But who's going to do that? I mean, are the kids going to put their phones down? Are they going to stop playing video games? Are they going to stop the whole technology apparatus would have to come down?
Yeah. Well, in the end, I'm not sure if it...
I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I would totally be good with that.
The issue for me is not the technology itself. It's the really quite awful constraints that are being placed on people, with regard to the use of that technology now. I mean, you don't have freedom of use of anything anymore. There's no place just to be your own, living with your own conscience. You're not able to do that anymore.
Well, no, I don't think we haven't for a very long time. I don't think, I mean, it's just like, you know, the whole, you could go back to the global warming thing, you know, where, you know, they're blaming it all on all of us. It's like, did we decide to create cars? Did we decide to create pollution of industrial
and
waste?
And a perfect example of the car thing is there's a video out a long time ago. This English banker comes on and says how great China is because, look, they built all these roads before there were even cars in the place. And he's congratulating them, you know, for setting up a society to have cars. Now, why would anyone want to have done that? You know, they were perfectly happy up until, you know, my first visits to China in kind of the mid-90s, there wasn't a car in sight. And they were booming along perfectly happily. Even when I went there in 2006, and when they were just building the roads, there were practically no cars in China.
What's up?
And now the place is just at same gridlock as everyone else.
You could turn it off. Go ahead. Sorry.
Why would they? You know, in what sense is that behaviour far thinking, far sighted? It is utterly bonkers.
Right. Well, I don't really, you know, we don't get to know anything about China, really. I mean, in any of my education, nobody ever talked about China in terms of their history or, you know, their culture or what's going on over there or what it even looks like until very recently. I mean, you know, what did they, all I ever see now is, you know, the, you know, on travel shows that, and they just show you like the markets and, you know, the, where the cities, you know, they don't really talk about really a whole lot of anything, you know. It just seems like it's a mystery. Just like Russia, you know, we don't hear much about Russia. And, you know, but yet, except for that they're messing with our election and, you know, it's just interesting. Oh, but the whole way stuff is fed to us, you know, we're just fed everything. And that's why I say we don't really have a clue about who we are personally, because we're just told constantly what to think, what to do, how to.
It's un-American. It's un-American.
Exactly. It's not, and you don't get 5 minutes to even sit down and think about, you know, what thoughts could go through your head without the aid of, you know, marketing and whatever, education. So, who, yeah, it's like we have no idea what we would even want if we were left alone to our own devices, you know. It would probably take us a while to even just figure out that.
It's, and you know, even it's just on a basic level. I'd go to a, I went to a mining conference, and these guys would talk about how China's got this 5-year and 10-year plan to do this and to do that. And I would always ask the question, so what's our 5-year plan? What is it that Australia stands for? What is it? And why are we even a nation? What are we trying? What is our purpose of even being a nation? What are we trying to achieve as the organisation that is Australia? It's a conversation that no one has. And so you're just adrift.
Well, like I said, and you don't got time to think about it because you're too busy, you know, doing whatever they tell you to do, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, even like, you know, at Christmas time, it just used to, it bugs me still, you know, okay, well, everybody, you gotta go. Well, you guys don't have Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving that happens. And then the day after Thanksgiving, you're supposed to go out and shop, spend all, as much money, you know, as you can. And then the following day is.
This is saving all the money at the sales.
Yes. And then you're supposed to go shopping on Saturday. It used to be Small Business Saturday. So everybody go shopping at the small businesses. And then, and it's like, you know, and then Monday is your cyber, you know, shopping. You go do your cyber shopping and then you go do, you know, I mean, it's just like everything's just laid out for you, you know, and everybody just does it. That was the thing that used to just amaze me is that, okay, you know, let's just line up and, you know, like I said, everybody's supposed to go shopping on Friday. Well, you know, then you've got these massive crowds and everybody's like fighting each other for the big sale items. And it's just like, okay, really? Why? Like, why would you even do that? It's just hilarious.
Yep. That's, in summary, we, you know, we've got to fight to preserve the American and or Australian way of life. Why have we got to fight to preserve it? Is it worth preserving?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, if we, you know, everybody just stopped everything and just, you know, there's more of us than there are of them. But like you said, nobody has these thoughts. There's no, there's
well,
such
there are
a
very,
long
there are
way
very
to get
few people,
to it.
There are very few people that realize they have an enemy, isn't there?
Yes, yes. No, they think the enemy is each other. Like, you know, like you said, yes. The neighbors who are, you know, it's like these people on the next door. I don't know if you have this there. Do you have a? They set it up in all the cities, and I knew as soon as they did it.
Neighborhood watch.
Neighborhood, yeah, and everybody gets on, and you know, you talk about, and everybody just complains. It's like the other day, this woman, she, because you know, I live near the beach, and there's a trail, and they have these little. Receptacles basically that they put doggy poop bags in there. So you can pull out a poop bag and pick up your dog's poop, right? So
now that's a joy, isn't it? Picking up your dog's shit.
Right. So as if that was, again, here you go. We're telling you what to do, you know, and I've had, you know, ladies yell at me at the beach because, there's this huge bluff. There's nobody that walks on the bluff. They walk on the path that, you know, the bluff is just, you know, like brush and sticks and, you know, nobody walks in there. Mm. My dog goes in there and he poops. Well, I've had this lady tell me, we walk in there, you should pick up your dog poo, you know, and it's just like, I just ignore her. But anyway, so this, what I was about to say, though, is here this woman on the next door complained in her post. She said, I saw this lady walk up to the, you know, the poop bag holder, and she took five bags or, you know, I don't know if it was five or multiple bags. She didn't just take one. And out of the, you know, thing, you know, what do you think about that? It's like, okay, what the hell, man? I mean, are you that, I don't know. That just, to me, just is retarded.
Are you allowed to say that word?
I know, exactly. And I can't even say that. That is like, I remember, you know, when this whole thing started, the very...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Okay, are you back?
Just my favorite thing about the poop thing, again, is there's no logic. Because there is no disease we can get from a dog.
Well,
there isn't really even a sanitation issue. If you stand in dog shit... There's no disease you're going to catch.
Oh no, it's not you. It's the environment. You're polluting the environment with your dog's poop.
So again, let's take that up as a possibility. The idea of a dog providing fertilizer to a tree, you know, the nutrient back to the soil, and compare that to putting the dog poop into a bag, into a bin. And then burying it.
All right.
Logic, is there?
This is what they say. Okay. They have put signs up. People have posted. These are not, sanctioned signs, but, you know, Greenpeace people. I don't know who they are, but they put signs up that said, yes, picking up dog poop is gross, but would you rather be swimming in it? Because they're saying that your poop gets run, the dog poop gets run off into the ocean and pollutes the ocean.
How can it pollute the ocean? How can it?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. These people are just retarded. That's all I can say is they're just
retarded. That's why I say, you know, this is done by, you know, they create these things. It's just a group of people that are in NGOs around the world, as Marcus Allen repeatedly points out. They are the busiest people, harmless, hardworking people on the planet. They are up there till all hours of the night, constantly producing documents.
Oh, my God. And they're here. They're all around me. They're always yelling at me for something. Like I said, I, every time I walk in, because this area right, you know, out like 2 minutes away from my door is a what they call it, a post, which is, I can't think of the acronym, but it's basically land that was purchased with government money as open space, you know, for people to enjoy, right? But yet they're like, have all these freaking rules. Don't walk here, you know, don't throw your dog's poop, or they're just everywhere. And, you know, they've always got little, like, those volunteer rangers running around, you know, watching what you're doing at every move. it's just crazy. And I mean, my dog, you're supposed to have your dog on a leash, right? So, excuse me. They just instituted this leash law in the last, I don't know, I would say maybe 10 years, I guess, as more people have been coming into the area. And so it does make sense, you know, but, you know, when I go out into the backwoods and there's nobody there except for me, I would let my dog loose. Well, of course, here comes this woman with her dog, who she's got on it's got a muzzle on it. It's on a leash. And, you know, my dog doesn't usually go near other dogs, even when he's off leash. You know, he just basically, he's very timid. So, you know, he'll just wait and usually the dogs will come to him. Anyway, so we're walking and, you know, my dog's doing his thing, walking around. And so she's got this dog on a tight leash. It's like right up against her. And he's got like this major muzzle on his, on his face, you know, like, and she starts yelling at me that her, that because my dog is off leash, she says it's dangerous, you know, because my dog, you know, bit somebody or something like that. And, so she's talking about her dog is the menace. And yet she's yelling at me because my dog is off leash. And I said, my dog doesn't bite anybody. And she said, well, and she starts screaming at me about, you know, well, people have been bitten, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, she was just like going crazy, you know, like out of control, you know, yelling at me. And so I just said, whatever. And I just, you know, passed her and she said, she said something about she worked for the, you know, the open space people. We own this land. And, you know, and I was just like, I was really pissed. And I said, you don't own this land. So don't sit there and try to tell me what to do. You know, you don't own this land, lady. And, you know, she was trying to like pretend like she was, because she was the volunteer, you know, I guess she was supposed to be in charge or something. I don't know. And I don't know, but I swear those ladies are always around and they're always yelling at me and just telling me that I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, it's because annoying. It's the new sin, isn't it?
It is. It's like people think they can tell you what to do now because they figure they're in the right.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's all I pray for is the return of Jesus, really, because government by men is dreadful, especially when it's interfered with by, I mean, to me, with what you're talking about in the models that I use, that woman is tormented by a demon to just make her behave completely irrationally. Don't mention demons on radio, it causes everything to fall out. Isn't that interesting? It's so interesting.
I think we're cutting out here.
I was just saying, it's very interesting. As soon as I started talking about demons, the thing shut out.
I didn't hear anything about demons.
I said that in my world, in my model, the way I think of the world these days, that woman was infected by a demon.
I would say that.
And what I've been doing, as I keep banging on ad nauseum on this particular venue, is that I recite the Lord's Prayer, and it seems to just eliminate all those problems for me.
Well,
now, but causation is not, correlation is not causation, of course, but I'm just,
you know,
telling you.
I think
what,
it probably relaxes you, makes you feel better. I think it works. I mean, I tried it probably a few months ago when I heard you saying it, if you can believe that, because I thought, I mean, because I was kind of like at my wit's end and I thought, okay, I got to do something. So I did it.
Yeah.
And it seemed to help. And I think, you know, things got better, and then I probably blacked off a bit, so I probably should get back to it. Because things are not better again.
Yeah, and that's really all that I do. You know, I'm an engineer by training and really by mindset, really. I just have a very pragmatic view. I'm not here to prove anything, but if I do something and it works, it's fine. You know, why would I stop doing it? It doesn't make any sense for me to behave in a different way if I'm getting good results by.
Right. Well, and I I am the same way too. I'm very logical. I was a programmer by trade, so I'm very logically oriented as well. And actually, though, I do remember, many years ago, I used to listen to a guy who talked about if you constantly, it's not really meditating. It's not really like, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, what the athletes do, like they envision,
yeah,
you know, good outcomes. And
yeah,
I would imagine that that's what prayer is, you know, because you're imagining a good outcome, right?
Or so like, that's the only issue I have with that is that, you know, really imagining a good outcome is no more scientifically brilliant an observation than that there's been actual divine intervention. Neither one of them, you know, can we demonstrate.
Right. Well, you're not going to have proof, no. But
you know, we're not. I mean, even to be truthful, even if the Creator actually started speaking to me, I would just assume that I'd gone mad. As my first response would be, or someone's messing around with me in some way.
But don't you feel like you talk to yourself? Again, I'm
no.
being blasphemous and saying.
Oh, sorry, no. I talk to myself about what I call neurolinguistic programming. I use that frequently.
Well, that's deliberately though. But if you, I don't know, there are times. If you listen very, very carefully, if you're not distracted, if you're calm, you're relaxed, you're in a certain state of mind, sometimes you can hear yourself talking to you, and it's not necessarily in words, but sometimes
oh,
it's
yeah, sorry,
feeling.
Of course, yeah. No, I agree
yeah.
with you, and I often
but,
wonder how
but
people
you have to,
would
have to
how
listen.
Would people think? How do you formulate a thought without having language? I've often wondered that.
You have to listen, and you have to trust yourself, and you have to, like you said, it's kind of like knowing what's right, even though sometimes it's the totally opposite of like now, you know, everybody's going against you, but you know, in your heart what's right. And I can't explain that any other way, but. And that doesn't come through with words, does it?
It's a good question. I'm now going to ask you: How would you formulate your thoughts without a language? Because my mother, who spoke several languages, I would ask her, "What language do you think in now?" And, you know, by towards the end of her life, she was thinking in English, and she would actually think in English and translate to her mother tongue.
Well, see, now, and that would be confusing, yeah. But being that I only have one language, it does translate. Like I said, it's like, you know what they talk about when they say you have a gut feeling or you have intuition. Sometimes those things don't come across as words. Like, you know, just like when you walk in a room and you could feel something, you
yes.
don't necessarily get words, but you have to, at some point, try to narrow it down into words or into, you know, something that you can understand.
Okay. So that's a good example. That now I translate that into my view that we are constantly under attack from demons. And I've had that premonition all my life without realizing it. Now that I use this idea that it's demons,
The demons are the television and the radio and the
all that stuff. But I think they're so instead of it being, you know, like some people, my wife will say to me, "That's a metaphor for yada yada," and so I will just say, "Okay, but you know, when it's a metaphor, there's no remedy, whereas in the Bible there is a remedy offered, and that's to recite Luke 11." And so that's why I've found that thing about, you know, when that you're talking about, when you walk into a room and you're, you know, for reasons that were out of your control, you know the meeting or the situation is going to be quite tense. You can't do much about it. And in the past, up until I started praying, I had absolutely no idea what to do about it and couldn't manage it. But the prayer thing, you know, all the things that used to mess my life up, they've just vanished. It's quite incredible for me. And when I say I was a blasphemer, I never would have, you know, to hear myself talking like this now just seems amazing to me.
Well, and like you said, if it works, it works. And I can.
Well, so I don't know if it works. All I know is it hasn't failed at this stage.
Right. Well, and that's your empirical evidence, right?
Yeah.
And that works for you. It may not.
And if it worked for you, I can only say, why not keep doing it if it's working?
Well, but in here, but see, I always have to question it. And so I think it does work because, like, okay, because you know how you just struck me just now when you said, you know, when you walk into a situation and you know it's going to be stressful and, you know, blah, 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 you don't know what to do about it. Well, again, like you said, if it relaxes you and makes, because like, it makes me think about, okay, when you have to make a phone call, like when I have to make a phone call to say an insurance company or the phone company or, you know, all these people that are always, you know, messing
great
with
example.
You so hard.
Yeah.
And I went and I just put it off because I know it just makes me like stressed out just thinking about it. So, and I have had certain times when I would just, you know, talk to myself and say, look, because I was having a lot of problems with the insurance company when I broke my ankle and I had, you know, obviously there was surgeries involved and I had all these medical bills and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so every time they called or I had to call them, it was just like, you know, terrible. So one time I just said to myself, okay, look, just relax. And you know, I had to talk to myself. I had to talk myself down and you know, totally. And so, of course, when I wasn't all worked up, I was able to think. I was able to get through the call and it was resolved and everything was good.
Yeah.
So that's what made me think, okay, so when obviously if you're going to start, if the praying relaxes you and makes you, you know, takes you away out of that stress or whatever, then yeah, that's going to help you. And I would, you know, correlate that as well. So, and however you get there, hey, like you said, if it works, it works. That's all. But yeah, I, you know, but see, in my case too, sometimes I will just start, you know, reciting the prayer just, you know, because I'm upset or something and I want to just
bring it down,
focus on something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that works in that regard as well. So yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't work at all. I'm just saying that there are other ways to get there too. If, you know, like people don't have that penchant for whatever.
Yeah. And I'm surprised at the number of people that just will not pray, no matter how dire their situation is.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I was. Oh, yeah.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Okay. Been here for a while. I think
I better let you go, yeah.
I'm like petering out here, but
thank you for the chat.
It was very helpful, and I, like I said, it's amazing how much insight I've gotten from the Discord server, and I've only been here since summer, so.
That's really good to hear.
So, yeah, I was teasing Ab that, you know, he didn't know he was a psychologist. He thought he was just doing a a fakeologist server, but I think there's some real psychology going on here.
Sure. No question.
Anyway, so thank you so much, and maybe we'll talk again soon.
Maybe. Are you sending a sigh?
Pardon me?
Sleep well.
Oh, thank you.
The Japanese say, are you assuming a sigh?
Oh, okay. I don't speak Japanese, so.
What?
I only speak English, sorry. I'm a typical American. We just speak English.
Good night.
Good night.
That's all, folks.